Welcome to Module 3 of Flora. In this module, we're going to be talking all about different herbs and finding our herbal allies and working with herbs and the ones that are best suited for our bodies. So at this point, I'm really hoping that we've already had our call and you've really established a baseline for how you're going to be approaching this Candida diet and your personal journey, and even having already maybe discussed different protocols for herbs that would work really great for you. However, I thought it was very, very important to take the time to briefly kind of discuss herbs in general, especially for the Candida diet, and talk about the different herbs that you may be working with currently, and then also how we can integrate herbs into our cooking, and just kind of briefly touch on supplements and tinctures and whole food forms of herbs, and maybe even discussing nourishing herbs and which ones maybe we could integrate into our life on a daily basis through an herbal infusion. So I'm going to kind of get right into it. So for herbs are really important next to food and diet for Candida, because when we're talking about rebalancing microbial communities, herbs are naturally, many of them, antifungal and antimicrobial and antibacterial, and our ancestors have been using them for thousands of years to help with conditions such as this. And really, I mean, even in cultures today, especially ones that are very true to their ancient roots, especially in areas of Africa, you can look to these cultures to see that they're chewing on barks, they're eating things from the ground and the soil, they're using a lot of herbs and either, you know, they're cooking and even in ceremonies and things like this. But herbs are very much a big part of their life. And when we're looking to these cultures who chew on barks, it's very interesting because barks are some of the most highly durable forms of antimicrobial actions within herbs. Barks have this capability. So some of the ones you may be working with now are like Pal de Arco, pine. So we can really look to those as really throughout the Candida specific ones as really true markers of that ability for barks in the wild to really be beneficial for us through healing. And those were very common. This is not something that they would just be doing when they had a microbial imbalance, but really, you know, integrating barks into the lifestyle of ancient peoples and modern peoples who live by ancient rule books is very, very common. So do not be afraid of the barks. They are very special to us as human beings. But so that is just one. Another interesting thing about herbs is it's often found in delicacy. And when we're talking about microbial imbalances, it's impossible not to talk about the delicate nature of them. And flowers, for instance, also have a lot of antimicrobial powers. I say powers, but I mean really chemical constituents to them. And it's interesting how delicate they are, but how powerful they can be. And I'm talking about things like calendula, even hibiscus, and saffron. Things like this actually are antimicrobial, so and antifungal at times, depending on the herb. So it's very interesting to look to these herbs and flowers and even fungi like chaga, which interestingly enough, many mushrooms grow on trees, which from the bark. So we can see the correlation between these different working elements in our natural world and how we can use them as humans. Plants and the people have a very long lasting relationship, just like us and our microbial allies. However, microbial allies probably predate us to the plants because our common universal ancestor was microbial, and that's really kind of what connects all life all together all of the time. So when we're talking about herbs, it is very natural for us to integrate them into our daily life. However, that's something that over generations and maybe through media manipulation or something like this, we've really lost that art and that nature to us. However, it's not something we can ever really escape. We are constantly working with different plants and herbs in general, and we may just have lost the awareness of this. So in cooking, we often use spices, spices are really herbs, and there's a lot of different ones that some in like Ayurvedic traditions and then even Chinese medicine, thing like this, are common today, but actually are really powerful for us, like rosemary, like oregano, like turmeric, and oh my God, so many of them. I say those because I think those will be the best ones possibly on this journey for you, thyme, things like this. So those ones are very, very powerful for us. And I love using both dried and fresh herbs in my cooking and in my life, because not only are they very nourishing for me, but also they help along with getting in those diverse plants every single week and just really bringing life and this extra oomph to the food that I'm eating. And I really just love it. So I really would like for you to experiment with using different antifungal and antibacterial type herbs in your cooking. And I mentioned a lot of them here, rosemary, oregano, thyme. Really, I mean, you could even like fennel and things like this, which could be just soothing for the gut in general. So it's really important to utilize those in your cooking all of the time. Don't go crazy. I mean, use the proper amounts and that is enough. So herbs are so, so powerful in that way. So that is one way we can really start to integrate the herbs into our life. And one of the most basic ways, using fresh and dried herbs, but some of the most powerful ways are always basic. So that's always step one for me to relate to you because it's really the easiest and most accessible. So that's that. And then we can talk about other ways we can use herbs. So I'm going to say herbal infusions. You'll notice that I'm talking about whole herb. When I say whole plant, I don't mean using the whole plant. I mean using the whole part of the plant that is medicinal. So I want to make that very clear because we can't always use the whole part of every single plant. There are many toxic attributes to many beneficial plants out there. So we use the whole herb. What I mean is the whole part of the herb that we can use and is known to be medicinal. Okay, so we use the whole part versus using extracts of the plant first. So we do that by using kitchen herbs, spices, like I just mentioned. And then also another great way is through herbal infusions. I would like to discuss particularly what herbal infusion I would recommend for you, but I'm going to give you a brief overview of what like nourishing herbs are. So nourishing herbs are things like nettle, oat straw, even linden, yarrow flowers. Oh my goodness, there's so many. I mean, we could even do raspberry leaf in an infusion, hibiscus. I wouldn't classify as a nourishing herb, but that's something that we can make into a nice infusion. Even I think marshmallow as well, and lemon balm, these types of things. So nourishing herbs, or just in general using herbs to make an herbal infusion, is a really great way to bring whole herbs into our daily life. And we can do that by simply maybe the night before you go to bed, it needs to sit for 6 hours or so, we prepare an herbal infusion. We just use a specific amount of whatever, depends on the herb that we're using, of course, in either hot water to a hot infusion or cold water to a cold infusion. I particularly like cold infusions. However, there's a difference in what nutrients they extract when it's hot versus cold. I like cold. I've heard there's more vitamin and mineral content depending on which one you choose. So we can choose to do that at night. It sits throughout the night. We gain all of this nutrients from the plant, and then we strain it and we can use that as a beverage. So the idea with nourishing herbs is to A, get in a herb every single day that's going to be nourishing for us, but also there's specific ones we use that either have like very cooling or heating properties, and it also, a lot of them are super mineral and vitamin dense, as I just said, so it's a really great way to kind of like get a multivitamin in without taking supplements. However, always listen to your doctor when it comes to things like that. However, herbs are really great natural forms of high mineral and vitamin content. So those are two ways to get whole herb versions of herbs into our life. The other ways, which are probably more common, strangely, than the ones I just mentioned to you, are something like supplements, tinctures, these kinds of extractions. So another way we can get herbs is through taking it through some kind of capsule. We could get it through a tincture, which is either in like something like glycerin or alcohol. And then also through, I don't know why I'm blanking on this, but I mean, I guess I could say in Chinese medicine, there's another old herb form, which is pressed powder form, which you just drink. If it's Chinese herbs particularly, we're not working with those really in this course, or you grind them up into like tablet form. So I guess there's a lot of herbal supplements out there that are forms of like powders. I'm sure you've seen them, like reishi powder or something to that nature, or even something like a tablet. There's also, of course, you know, herbal syrups and honeys and things like this, which are more on the whole herb sense, I would say, versus some of the other ones that we're talking about. So, and of course, just regular tea in addition to the infusion is another way. So those are all pretty much the different ways that you can get them. I would say the most important thing about herbs is that you are using them correctly, which is why working with me on our calls, you're going to be working with an herbalist, so we're going to be able to determine the best ones for you, and you get to decide what you're going to do with that information. But also, the best way to use herbs is in the way that you know that you'll actually take them, because a lot of the times I think, you know, it might be easier to take a supplement, but then again, if you're a person who really loves to sit down with tea, perhaps that's really the best way for you to approach them. So those are really all personal preference type stuff. And then also, of course, it depends on what herb we're working with and what is the best way to take it, or kind of what's available on the market as well. So that's something to also consider. And that's really the baseline for working with herbs. I wanted to kind of talk about this really tangible way to approach working with your herbal allies, because I think it's important to really just bring light to this part of our healing journey. It's not just like we're taking a supplement and okay, we're good. A lot of the times along the way, there's, you know, multiple different remedies we could be using at once and different ways to use them. And then also, sometimes the remedies are best suited for our body, so we adjust them along the way, and that's totally natural when you're working with nature-based remedies. So I found it very important to speak to that. And then also, in terms of finding the right herb for you, when we work together on our calls, I'm going to be evaluating you as a whole. So when I think about using pine, for example, in any individual, I always evaluate this person's hormone levels when I'm choosing that remedy, and then also the state of the candida. So often, you know, there's a push and pull between those two concepts. Pine can be a little bit high in testosterone. However, I know it to be one of the strongest allies for candida imbalances. So there's this, you know, fluid way of approaching what herb is best for each person. And I'm going to do that for you, with you, if you'd like, in our calls. And I always recommend working with an herbalist before you work with herbs, because really of the concept I just said, and then also being aware that working with a lot of barks at once may not be the best route for your healing. I wouldn't recommend someone who's working, let's say, at working on their parasites at the same time that they're working on candida, when on the parasites they're working with something like wormwood, which is a little bit harsh in the digestive system, and at the same time as working with something like Poldearco or pine. Those are two very, very strong entities. So it's very important to evaluate which one is best for us at this time, and then to work with that in a fluid type way. So, you know, this is all about finding your ally. I love to think about plants as my allies, because really we live in such symbiotic relationship with them. It's a really beautiful way for me to approach looking at life. So I love to give that to you in that kind of way. And I think it's really important to just talk about the different ways to approach herbs. So that's what we did here. I hope you enjoyed it. Work through the monographs. They're really fun, especially if you really like to learn about what it is that you're taking. If we've discussed a certain remedy for you and it's on that list, that would be very fun. If not, you can look to the other ones, and perhaps maybe you're very much called to one and it's an intuitive kind of gut feeling. And of course, we can discuss that further as well, in addition to just working through the written segments as well. And I really hope this Candida diet is treating you well at this point in the game, and that you are achieving massive results. And I can't wait to hear about those. I'm very confident and excited to hear about them. And there is just about one module left, for the most part. And that one is going to be interesting, I would say, because the length in which it takes you to cycle through the Candida cleanse is a very individual process. So it's been kind of interesting creating this course with, you know, respect to that delicate flow that each individual has within how long each phase takes. So we'll be working through that in a sense of clarity next, and dive right in to figure out and really learn more about phase 2 and 3 of the Candida diet, and then working towards achieving the next stages of balance for you when all this is said and done. So I will see you there. Bye.